We welcome you this morning to the house of the Lord. As you're meeting in your place of worship in your home, we are united in our desire to honor the Lord. And so as you are gathered with your family in these times of being shut in the lockdown due to COVID, well, we don't want that to stop our worship. We don't want it to hinder our praise. And therefore, let us enter into the praise of God with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength. God remains to us a sure and a certain foundation. He never changes. We change. We alter. But the Lord does never change. And we can rejoice in that great truth. Number 610, let's sing to the Lord's honor today. How firm a foundation. Let's come to the Lord now, please, in prayer. and commit our morning worship time to the Lord. Our loving Father and our gracious God, as we come to commence our worship service today, we do so in the precious and holy name of our Lord Jesus. We come, Father, to pray for the help of the Holy Spirit in our worship. Help that we will give praise from our hearts. Help that we can pray both audibly in the silence of our heart, that we will not be distracted by other things, Lord, that our heart's attention would be given unto the Lord. Bless us as we read the Scripture, and as the Scriptures are opened this morning, we pray we'll have joy, anticipation, expectation to hear a word, a message from the living God. I pray, Lord, today that there would be a message for young and old. We pray that we will not be hard of hearing, but our hearts will be open and ready to receive that good word to our soul this day. Father, we worship, we give thanks, we magnify the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're thankful that Christ Jesus is alive today and that He lives in the power of an endless life, and that our Savior has promised that He will be back again to this world. And Father, we do not know the day or the hour, but we want to watch and be expecting the Lord's return. Help us, we pray, Father, to be about Your service and business, and not to be slack, not to be lazy, not to be distracted or taken aside by so many things that the devil would put in our way as stumbling blocks, as temptations. We ask, Lord, that Satan would be defeated in our lives in every attempt that he comes to set us aside or take us astray. Lord, I'm asking that we would know that daily communion and walk with our God. We would know the daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we cannot accomplish these things on our own. We take no confidence in the arm of the flesh. We're asking today to be given power. So often, Lord, it seems we're overcome with fear. But perfect love casts out fear. And we know, Lord, that You have not given to us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. These things are precious. And Lord, we would think for a moment on the need for a sound mind in our time, especially in this day. Lord, we know that so many things around us seem to be unhinged, seem to be going in a direction that is very hard and difficult. Yet, Lord, we know that our Lord, Sovereign God, is in control of all things. And we want to rest there. We want, O Lord, to be still and calm in our minds. We're praying for the peace of God that passes all understanding to fill our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Let us think on the wonderful mercies and the great grace of our God day by day. Help us to count our many blessings, to name them one by one, and it will surprise us what our God has done for us. Dear Lord, hear our prayer today. Remember our sick. Remember those grieving the loss of loved ones. Remember our nation. Remember, O God, our leaders. They need much help and much restraint. We ask, Lord, to remember all of our churches across Canada, the United States. Remember our missionaries. Remember everyone who is faithfully proclaiming the Word of God. We ask, Lord, today for those who are in prison, the persecuted, for the cause of Jesus. in lands and countries where there is no religious freedom, where there is much opposition to Christianity, to the Word of God. Strengthen them, we pray, with might and power in the inner man. Let them be a witness and testimony in their time. Support them, Lord. Hold them up, we pray. So, Lord, hear our prayer now. Continue to be with us and bless us in our service today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's worship the Lord again with Psalm 121. It is good to read the Scripture. It is good to sing the Scripture. And whether we do so in the Psalms or through precious hymns that are full of doctrine, full of the Word of God, full of exhortation, well, we rejoice in giving praise to the Lord in every way that we can. We're going to read the Scripture this morning now for our public reading, the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Isaiah 41, reading from verse 10 to 17. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new, sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." May God bless these encouraging words to your heart today as we have read. It is always a joy to be encouraged from such words that God has given to His people, to His church in the Old Testament and in the New, and in our time today. These words are powerful because they are from the living God. And believer, I trust that they will be to your heart this very morning. We want to thank you for tuning in today to our service. We hope and pray that the Word of God will be a blessing to you all. And we welcome you, whether you are from our own congregation joining online or from another place where you've tuned in today. We're very, very happy that you're here. And if you take a moment to send us an email, perhaps a prayer request you might have, some way in which we can help you, then we'd be happy to do that. We pray the Lord would bless you. I would ask you to continue, please, in your prayer to those in our congregation who are set aside because of sickness and those that have been recently bereaved. Let's not forget to pray for them. The Lord has told us to hold up one another in prayer, and we want to do that most definitely today. Let me encourage you to remember in prayer our school as we continue on under the restrictions of being locked down and the at-home learning, distance learning. Well, we pray that God would use the times of these unusual situations as a blessing to your heart. Do pray for our staff members. Pray for our school administration. Remember all of these folks that are serving during these times. We're looking forward to our congregational times of prayer the last week of January, 25, 6, and 7. And these will be three nights of prayer we want to devote for the specific needs we have in our time, praying that God's blessing would continue upon our ministry, praying that He would use the outreach that we have through sermon audio and our Zoom meetings. We'll continue on in serving the Lord during our times of difficulty. Remember also, please, the women's Bible study. They'll be on the last Thursday of each month via Zoom. And if you would like to join in, ladies, or perhaps you know a friend who would like to join, do send an email to us and we'll be sure you get that special link. Let me ask you to remember, please, in prayer, the needs of our nation at this time. They are great, they are very necessary, and we encourage you to think about those things and to be in prayer about them. Those are all the announcements we have for you just at this time, apart from encouraging you to think about our daily Bible reading program that we have. And I would ask you to get a copy of that. They are online at this time. Or if you would like to have a hard copy, you could let us know by email and we'll be sure to mail that out to you. We also have now our address book, our phone directory for our congregation specifically. And these are available also in the hard copy. So if you want to get one of these and you can't make arrangements to get by the church, well, we'll certainly be sure to mail one out to you. Just send us an email and we will do that. It will also be uploaded onto our, well, sent to you directly for our church email people. And if you want to get a copy of the phone directory, it will be also available to you in PDF format if you would like to get that a little later on. Those are all the ministry announcements we have to share with you at this time. We're going to sing another hymn together. God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know He's watching me. Let's sing to the Lord's praise. Turning, please, this morning in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Reading from verse 22 to 32. And Jesus said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of trouble or of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. May God bless His word to our hearts. We'll bow, please, in prayer. Father, the words we have read this morning from Isaiah 41, and here in Luke's Gospel, they are precious words, Lord, of comfort, precious words of the attentiveness that we know, Father, you have for your people. And we pray that today the Word of God will rest in every heart. Comfort every one of your children, Lord, we pray. Help us to make sense out of times and situations that seem to make no sense. Lord, hear our prayer today. Comfort us, we ask, in the Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. Verse 32 is a verse I want to leave with you today for our meditation. These words of God, of Christ. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want you to think for a moment about a couple of different situations. One of them would affect a little boy or a little girl. The night is cold and dark. No moon to lighten the sky. The little child lies in their bed with the covers pulled up to their nose, wide awake, cannot sleep, hearing every sound, every noise. Those eerie sounds of a house creaking as the frost causes the foundation and the walls to contract. Every sound causes a kind of a new shrill of fear. And the timorous voice cries out. The door of the bedroom opens slowly. And the voice of a father or of a mother is heard. What's wrong, my son? What's wrong, my daughter? I'm scared, is the timorous reply. There's nothing to be afraid of, my child. It's only the sound of the wind and the cold on the house. But don't be afraid. I will sit near you until you go to sleep. And the next thing the child knows, it is morning time. A student sits nervously in a test room. Final exam that will determine the placement, the acceptance in a very prestigious college. And tension is running very high. Then the teacher, the professor, comes in the room. Everything is silent. And the words are spoken. There's no surprises on this exam today. Everything will be exactly as we reviewed in our times. And as you have studied, you have nothing to be afraid of. And there's a great comfort and calm that comes over many a troubled heart. And you know, my friend, these life illustrations, whether they affect a young person, a child, whether they are affecting a teenager or a university student, or whether we would cite some examples that would affect the elderly, it seems that the fears that come upon life, they're like the many shades of a painter's palette. As you would think of the variety of colors and shades, there's almost a fear for every single situation. Faced with the uncertainties of life, unsure how things will turn out, distressed in mind about the future, wondering where all of this fits in to God's plan. What about disease and virus? Are these signs of the end times? Are these somewhat precursors before the coming of Christ, when there will be great tribulation? What about the idea of being able to buy and sell in these end times? What will the mark of the beast look like? How will it be that Christians will survive without receiving such a thing, however and whatever form it takes? Mothers, are you afraid today for your children? You're wondering about the future. You're wondering about how they will survive. You think of their salvation. You think perhaps of children that have wandered far away. Will they have a future? What will it look like? Are we going to be able ourselves as Christians to finish our course well? Are we going to be able to keep the faith? For there are many, it seems, that are much mightier than we are that have tripped and stumbled and fallen by the way. What if I deny the Lord? What if I fall into some great sin and dishonor my Savior? You know, so often God's people have been overcome with fear, and the Lord speaks words of peace and stillness as He did in Isaiah 41, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed." Don't be afraid, for I am thy God. Often the first words out of the mouth of Jesus to His disciples when they were paralyzed by some terror, it was this: "Fear not." And those words all became the precursor to calmness and a stillness in heart. Yes, and we have these words before us in our text today in verse 32. "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I pray today that God will so stamp His word upon the minds, upon our hearts. He will write them in our soul so that we will not walk in fear. But as we come face to face with the Word that the God of heaven has given to us, we will be overcome with hope and with confidence and not with fear. Worry, distress, what does that do for us? It does us no good. It only does us great injury and harm. It destabilizes us. It unsettles us. It makes us so that our usefulness for God is so greatly hindered. I pray, friend, that we will draw today much comfort, much help from this simple and yet profound verse, so well known, read so many times, and yet by the Holy Spirit taking it and stamping it upon our minds now, that we will draw great comfort. "Fear not" are the words that God has said to us. But certainly the question comes to our mind, why are we not to fear? What are the reasons why we don't have to be afraid? Is it just a preacher coming along and saying, "Oh, don't be afraid today"? If that's all it was, friend, you would be quite disappointed. But what I bring to you this morning is the Word of the living and the true God. And it is His Word to us today not to be afraid. And then we say, well, why, Lord, would we not be afraid? And God gives us the answer. We are not to be afraid in the first place because we are the possession of the Father. We belong to Him. He owns us. We are His possession. He says, "Fear not, little flock." To be part of the flock of the great shepherd is a good reason not to fear. Psalm 79 and verse 13 says, "So we thy people and the sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." Yes, believer, you are a part of the flock of God. And as a result of the fact that we are possessed by the Father in heaven, we will give praise for every generation from our time until the time of the end. And you know what that means? It means that our testimony is a lasting testimony. It doesn't just mean that it will evaporate with our demise, with our going to the grave, with the end of our existence here on this earth, but our testimony will reverberate far beyond to the generations that follow. You know what I mean? Because you think back in your minds of those that have made an impact upon your Christian life. You think of those who have paved a way for you. They've gone in front. They are holding the flag of the gospel of Christ, and they have mapped out a course in front, and we are seeing them in front of us. We know they have served the Lord. We know they have lived for the Lord. We know that they were very much a part of the flock of God. And for us, it's a great joy to remember them. Oh, we've been in the midst recently of seeing so many loved ones taken away from even our own fellowship. And those who are immediately connected with the family, folks, you know the testimony that loved one had. And those in the church fellowship, yes, we also observed and we have seen that they marked a pathway in front of us. They were part of the flock of God. And yes, their testimony is bright, and it reverberates and will continue to do so for the generations that are yet to follow. In Psalm 100 and verse 2, we are told, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God? It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." We are of the flock of God. Oh, friend, today we are worshiping the God who has created us. He has created all things, and specifically, He has created a people for Himself. This is a tremendous wonder. Oh, friend, today, you and I, the possession of our Father in heaven, we are a chosen flock, chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Oh, we are the possession of the Father. We are a chosen flock. It is not something, friend, that is left open to the sinful and wicked and depraved heart of man to choose God or not choose Him. The Lord has set His love upon us before this world was ever in being. A chosen flock today. Friend, this is all of grace. It's nothing of ourselves. And this is the very reason why the Lord is stipulating to us, "Don't be afraid, my child. Fear not. Whatever and from wherever that fear seems to come to us in our day." We are a chosen flock. And that also means this, that we are a purchased flock. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, these words, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our body, our spirit, our soul, all of us, we have been purchased. God owns us and we belong to Him. Acts 20 and verse 28, we are told, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, and feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." The fact that we are part of the flock of God, that we are the possession of the Lord, that we have been purchased, it has not come except by a great cost. And it was the blood of our Savior that was shed on Calvary's cross that brought us into this most precious relationship, that brought us into the family and the fold of God, that brought us to be a sheep in the pasture of the living God. Oh, from the very youngest boy and girl, you can understand that. A sheep that belongs to God, the great shepherd. Our Lord Jesus Christ is called the great shepherd of the sheep. And the shepherd is the one who went to the cross to die in the place of His sheep, in order to give us life, and that we might have this life more abundantly. Today, believer, the reason why God tells us that we are not to fear is because we are possessed by our Heavenly Father. We have been purchased by Him, and we have been washed in that precious blood of our Lord Jesus. Revelation 1 verse 5, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood." Oh, never underestimate the value of the shed blood of our Redeemer. Yes, He died on the cross, there is no doubt. And it is the death of Christ that was essential for our redemption. But it was death by none other than the shedding of His blood. In 1 John 1 verse 7, these words, "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Oh, the hymn writer put it this way, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole, complete again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And believer, today you have no reason to fear any of the things that come against us, because we have been washed and we are clean. Friend, do you know the cleansing power of the blood of Christ today? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Have you received the salvation that Jesus has offered as a free gift? You say, "No, I don't know that today. I'm not born again." You know it in your own heart. Then what would hold you back from today saying, "Lord, I repent of my sin. I want to be in the flock and the fold of God. I want to have this assurance of knowing that I am possessed of the Father, that I have been redeemed by precious blood." Yes, and today you can know that as you humble your heart and you call out by faith and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need to be saved." You know that. And if you call upon Him, He has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a great promise of God's holy word. Oh, I know a lot of excuses comes up in your mind, and even those fears that Satan would now raise up. Well, if I profess faith in Christ, my friends are going to, they're going to leave me. You say, I don't think I'll be able to keep my salvation. Oh, friend, fear not those problems and those things. Because whatever you think you will lose in this world, you will gain 100-fold more having put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus and what God promises you. Ah, yes, don't think of the things that you will lose, but consider, friend, and know the things that you will gain immeasurably more. And you will be in the hands of the God of heaven. He will hold you dear to Himself, and you will have no cause for fear. Yes, belonging to the Father, being possessed by Him, is a cause not to be afraid, because you are uniquely marked. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, it says this, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Having this seal, having a mark upon your soul, an indelible mark, one that has been inscribed by divine grace, that mark that cannot be rubbed out. Once God has placed His mark upon you, my friend, you are His. You belong to His by divine grace, by sovereign grace for time and eternity, and it cannot be erased. You are uniquely and eternally marked as part of the flock of God. You are sheep. You belong to Him. And the devil might come along and try to convince you that he will rub that mark out, or you will rub it out yourself because you cannot keep your salvation. And on and on and on the fears and temptations go. And he comes, and maybe, friend, today you are under that direct attack of the barrage of the fiery darts of the wicked one against your soul. And you're at the point of thinking, I don't know where I stand with God today. My dear friend, come back to the foundation of God's Word. Come back to the truth of this verse of Scripture, that God the Father has made you one of His sheep. You are in His flock, and no charlatan, no devil, no spirit of uncertainty can take you away. Now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. What a hope, friend, that we have today from the marking that we have in Christ. How much our Father values the relationship that we have. For He says, "Your Father delights to give you the kingdom, your Father." You know that today? He's ours. We are His. And it doesn't matter how long you live or how short you live. It matters not, friend, how young you are or how much fear you have being a child or how much fear you have being a senior. No, you're marked by God's grace, and He cherishes you. As a matter of fact, God sings over you with joy. And you, as a possession of His, belonging to Him, you are His and He is yours. And you can say today from your heart, "My Father in heaven." Friend, today we have no need of fear, because we are the possession of the God of heaven. In the second place this morning, we have no cause for fear, because we are precious to our Father. We are precious to our Father. The phrase, "little flock," is given in our text. And the fact that God refers to His people as a little flock, what does that indicate to us? Well, it shows us our weakness, our frailty, the fact that we're outnumbered, we're prone to wander, and we're defenseless. And all of those things may well be true, because in ourselves, friend, we are certainly very weak characters. At a moment when we think we are strong, be careful, because that's just a time when we're going to fall flat on our faces. If we take dependence or confidence in the arm of our fleshly ability, and we think, I can do this, we will find soon enough how weak we really are and how we are frail individuals in our spirit and how we are so outnumbered by all the enemies of the gospel. We are but a little flock. And as sheep, silly sheep, we like to wander off. And it's the shepherd's watchful eye that keeps us from wandering too close to the edge of the cliff where we would be likely to fall over. Yes, we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Lord, I sense it. Prone to leave the God I love. But God in grace, Christ in love, He is always watching out for us. He is always ready to bring us back to Himself. And there are times when the Lord must deal very forcefully with us because we're stubbornly wandering off over and over again. And God will bring sometimes a chastening hand against us, not because He's angry with us, not because He hates us, but, believer, because He loves His little flock. And the extensions and expressions of the love of God to us, they seem sometimes hard. But if we interpret them with hardness, if we interpret them with a harsh reality, we are wrong. We're always wrong when it comes to that. Because it is only what the Lord is doing in our life in order to protect us and preserve us and to keep us from destroying ourselves. That's why He puts a block in front of us. That's why He hinders our wandering off. And He brings us back to Himself. And after we have gone through a trial, after we have been set back, we will come to see, thank you, Lord, for sending that trial. Thank you, Lord, for what you had to teach me through that circumstance. I never would have learned it on my own. I would have been filled with great self-confidence, as we all are prone to do, and the pride that arrests us in our heart. We think, I can manage this. I'll go my own way. I can survive. And the Lord said, you can't handle it. You'll not survive. You'll destroy yourself. And that's why I have put a block in front of you. That's why I've given you that trial, so that you will learn and return back. And we will see the tender care, the loving kindness, the great mercy of our God for us. And ultimately, when we learn our defenselessness against the enemies of our souls, in ourselves, friend, we are not able to face the attacks that He brings against us. And unless we had the shield of faith, unless we were wielding the sword of the Spirit, unless we had on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of the righteousness of Christ, we would not survive. And unless we had the Spirit of God in us, quickening, strengthening, carrying us forward in His will, we would completely shrivel up and be just cast out onto the scrap heap of life. Our Heavenly Father loves us with an everlasting love. We are precious in the sight of our God. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy chapter 7. God was speaking to His people Israel. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye are the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep His oath that He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And friend, as we read those words, we can have a direct association because we have been brought out of the chambers of sin and the prison of debauchery by the grace of God. We've been delivered from that house of bondage. And the Lord has brought us into light and liberty of the sons of God. And we are weak. And it's not because we have been mighty or we've shown some prowess, some excellence. No. We're the fewest, the weakest, the most undeserving of all. And yet God in His love, He has purchased us. He possesses us, and He loves us. Friend, you are part of the flock of God, and you have no cause for fear. We are His special treasure and holy nation, a peculiar people. And Peter, in his epistle, quotes exactly those words I just read you from Deuteronomy 7. Referring to God's ancient people, that is the church, those who belong to Him. We are a holy people. We are a holy nation. We are the church, the body of Christ. We are the flock of God. And today, because of that, we have a treasure. We have a possession that is eternal in the heavens. Yes, friend, that's the third point I leave with you today. We have a great provision from our Father. Possessed by Him, precious to Him, and a provision that is great. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our Father delights, not with reluctance, but with great delight, to give us all things richly to enjoy. And how God has provided for us for every need that we have. And He has given us so much to delight in this world. So many blessings, friend, we cannot add them up. And if you're going through a time of heaviness of heart, if you're going through a time of what some people might call depression, which a Christian must be careful about, let us think again of the multiplied blessings that God has granted to us. Of all the things whereby He provides for us, we cannot possibly add them up. And besides all of the temporal things, our Father has so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that we would have not temporal life, but eternal life. We have been saved by the grace of God today. We have been washed in the blood of Christ, forgiven of all our sin, promised a home in heaven. But that's not all. And you say, is that not enough? I would say, oh, that's more than enough. But that's not all. For God has given to us the kingdom. What does that mean, friend? It means that all of the inheritance that God has given to Christ, we are joint heirs with Him. Does Christ possess the kingdom? Yes, He does. Do we possess the kingdom? Yes, we do. Because we share everything that God has given to His Son. We are the sons and daughters of God today. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are His flock. Oh, friend, let that great truth sink into your minds. Because the more you dwell on that truth, the less that you will be affected by the fears that can so often stifle our testimony. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And all that the kingdom stands for and represents, and all the eternal blessings that are part, that we are partakers of. And as Ephesians tells us, we are already seated in glory. We are already resident in our heavenly and eternal mansions. We are already those who rule and reign with Christ. Oh, it might not appear it now, but in the eyes of God, that is a finished transaction. It's done. And one day, very soon, we will be absent from this body of sin and corruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. Yes, friends, it's all of grace. It's all of Him, and nothing of ourselves. For our God is the sovereign ruler of all things, all kingdoms of this world. And even when it appears that Satan is sweeping away all decency and all truth and all righteousness, remember this, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and He will not be confounded. And the devil's time is short, and he is on a very strong chain that he cannot break. Yes, he is restrained. And even the wrath of man and the wrath of Satan will fulfill the will of God. That is a true thing. The Word of God states it. Let us therefore be confident, my friend, and not be disappointed. For we are protected by the Father. His possession, precious to Him. We have all things provided for us, and we are temporally and eternally protected by Him. He watches over us moment by moment. I know sometimes we think, as we're going about the busyness of our day's activity, and we see so much buzzing around us in this life, and we fear disease, we fear illness, we fear the virus sometimes. We could fear a thousand different things. But let us always be reminded again that we are held in the hand of our eternal Father. No power can take us out of His hand. No force is able to remove us. And He is tending to His sheep. He is tending to His flock. He is protecting us so that the wolf and the lion and the bear will not be able to come and rend. No, not the youngest, not the oldest. We are held by our sovereign and almighty God. Friend, in conclusion, In light of all that the Lord speaks to us today, this word of comfort is a great one. Fear not. Don't be afraid of Satan. Do not be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of failure. Do not be afraid of disease or sickness or any other trial. But remember today, friend, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He is watching me. We're going to close our service today by singing a hymn that oftentimes we sing at the beginning of a year, whereas we're standing at the portal, at the very beginning of an opening year. Words of comfort meet us, hushing every fear. Spoken through the silence by our Father's voice, tender, strong, and faithful, making us rejoice. I, the Lord, am with thee. Be thou not afraid. I will keep and strengthen. Be thou not dismayed. Yea, I will uphold thee with my own right hand. Thou art called and chosen in my sight to stand. We're going to sing verses 2 and 4 of this hymn. Let's praise God. Lord, as we come to the conclusion of another service, and we have the words of Luke's gospel in our hearts, Lord, write them there, I pray. Let the truth of them distill into our lives and our spirits, that we will not be pushed aside or blown about by every wind of discouragement and false doctrine. We will stand faithful and true. We'll stand as servants of the Most High God. We will stand, Lord, as those who have been redeemed by precious blood. We will stand, Lord, confident, without fear, with our eyes firmly fixed upon our Redeemer, and knowing that our God does all things well. Hear our prayer today. Strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Turn our eyes away from ourself and our problems, and let us look full in the wonderful face of our living Redeemer. Father, we're thankful that you have put us into your little flock. And I pray that we will walk each day with that truth as a shadow over us. Part us, Lord, in your fear, with your mighty blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.